Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is Who Watches the Watchers. I am in Junior. My name is Ivan Fernandez. I am software engineer at Elastic for 2 years. I am a member of the productivity team inside the Observability team. And I was working with CI/CD with Jenkins for 10 years or so. I maintain a couple of plugins of Jenkins also. Yeah.
My name is Victor Martinez. I am also a software engineer at Elastic. I work with Ivan in the same team, and I've been using anything related with the CI/CD, similar to Jenkins and other tools, for over 10 years. And we are here to talk a little bit as well with the company. So our company is Elastic. It's an open source company and contributes by different meanings to the community, to the open source community. In this particular case, we like to highlight the way we use Jenkins for CI/CD is by using the H versions of the weekly releases and also the latest plugin versions of the plugin that we need. This leads us to contribute back to the community when we detect any issues in any particular plugin or weekly releases. It doesn't happen often, and when it does, either we raise a particular GitHub issue or Jira or whatever tracking system they want that particular project with what we found, and then we just also help them to develop features and other things. Why? Because we like to be on the edge and get the benefit of the latest version. And this contributes back in the way like it gives more maturity in the quality of the Jenkins ecosystem.
Okay. Let's start explaining a little bit what is observability. Observability, observability, O11Y, try to join your logs, do your application logs, your metrics, and your application monitoring data in one single point. In our case, Elasticsearch. To show that data in dashboards or anything similar, Kibana, for example, analyze that data with machine learning and other techniques to detect misbehaviors and generate alerts related with that misbehaviors. In Elastic, we use Elasticsearch, Kibana, and Bits. But what is Elasticsearch, Kibana, and Bits? Elasticsearch is a distributed open source search and analyze engine for all types of data. Kibana provides search and data visualization. And Bits provide data ingestion from many sources of data. For example, logs with 5 bits, metrics with metric bit, monitoring with hard bits, cloud data with functional bits, network traffic with packet bits, Windows 7 with Windows bits, and application performance monitoring with APM that collects performance information about responding times or incoming requests, database queries, call to the caches, external HTTP requests, and so on. All that data we analyze with that data with machine learning to generate alerts and show the data in dashboards to try to find misbehaviors in that data. But the question here is, we can use the same approach that we use for applications in the CI/CD. We can try to send data to Elasticsearch and detect misbehaviors in the CI/CD. That's what we want to watch and we want to do in Elastic. Yeah.
So after this introduction, let's talk about what the problem statement, what we're trying to solve. Let's talk about this precisely what we do or the complexity of it. So a little bit of context, the projects that we maintain is about 18 different GitHub repositories. There are different programming languages. We just say 10 to be roughly that or even more. Every programming language might have a different build tool system, or even any or none. There is also a different package, a distribution we need to provide. In order to provide this, there are different versions of the operating system that have to be supported, and different architectures. And again, different integrations. So observability, as we mentioned earlier, helps you to detect and to observe how your system integrate with databases, front end or cloud provider. So that's why we need to support different integration. So this is the entire ecosystem that we need to maintain from the continuous integration and continuous delivery or deployment. We need to basically be sure like how we can go accomplish that particular aim of having a high quality in what we deliver. So then we're going to discuss a little bit further what are the solutions to solve this particular problem statement.
Okay. First of all, we have to set a little number of rules before to start to achieve the problem statement. We have to try to standardize some things. Not all, but a little bit of things. So the first thing that we have to standardize is the tool that we use across all our projects. In our case, we decide to use Jenkins. The second thing that we have to standardize is how we want to build the workflows related or the pipelines related with the projects. In our case, we choose the declarative pipeline because it's an opinionated way to define a workflow that keeps in the pipeline only the orchestration logic, so it's simple. We don't want to end with a weird logic in those pipelines. So this is the best approach in our opinion. For the jobs, we use multi-branch pipeline because allow us to have only one job per repository, because the multi-branch pipeline allow to manage branches, tasks, and pull requests in only one job. All the things related with every branch, pipeline, every tag and branch is created automatically. For the tools that we use to build the projects, we try to delegate as much as possible in build tools, Maven, Gradle, whatever tool we have in the programming language that we have. That allows us to have the same workflow locally. So we can reproduce the same things that we do in the CI, we can do exactly the same in local machines. And the last thing is to try to have for all the projects a single release with one click. So we click in one place and we generate the binaries of that project. Yes.
So other aspect in the solution is don't repeat yourself. This is an extension of the standardization. When you really work with many different projects, you are probably repeating certain common patterns, such as checkout of the source code, the different notifications to the different GitHub or different SCM tools that you use, how to generate secret from Vault or any similar tooling, how to compress a file, how to generate the test output and train the output to be able to visualize it easily in the UI or install certain tools that you need. So by identifying this common process in the different projects and have this particular definition somewhere else, it helps us as well to be able to provide the same framework to a bunch of different projects. So the idea is to convert these particular processes in pipeline steps. In this case, it's quite precisely about how we use Jenkins and the declarative pipeline. Put all those steps in a shared library. In our case, we use the Jenkins shared library. This will help us to simplify the workflows easily, and therefore people can contribute to them rather than having a really messy scripting logic. In our case, the shared library that we use is about 150 different steps to integrate with Vault or to integrate with GitHub or AWS, Google Cloud, or the kind of cloud provider we use. So it's quite, it's there. So you can have a look later.
So we want to have everything that we have in our environments and our CI/CD in a way that we can repeat things. So we can repeat the same process and obtain the same results. To do that, we try to achieve putting everything in code. Our infrastructure, our jobs, pipelines, definitions, test environments, and in general, everything that we can define as code is defined as code. So our infra team provides a standard way to provision in Jenkins systems that is defined as code in Ansible. Our agents, the same. We have the same process in Ansible to provisioning and generate the image that we use to launch those agents is defined as code in Ansible. Our job definitions, we use Jenkins Job Builder and Job DSL to define our jobs and generate the jobs from that code. For our local environments, we use a Docker and Jenkins as configuration as code to launch local instance that can run agents in background environment definitions, and we can reproduce the same behaviors that we have in the CI/CD locally for local testing. We also provide ephemeral environments for integrations and tests that we use in our jobs that are defined as code. All permanent environments for testing and dog fooding also are defined as code. We have some implementation that use Ansible and other things to deploy environments in a repeatable manner. And also the docs. Everything that we have in documentation is generated from code.
So test them all is part of the next solution. In order to do that, we really need everything as code. That's what we talked about earlier, Ivan. What do we do with this particular testing? Testing should happen for all the different systems we use. One of them is the Jenkins Set library. This is where we delegate all the responsibility for certain complex logic to be easy to reach and used by the consumer, in this case, the pipelines or workflows that we define in every single repository. So the logic like can be used from different, can be consumed by different repositories or pipeline or workflows. It's gonna be defined there. So the way we test this is using unit testing and functional testing. With this, we can be sure that any release we do of this particular pipeline, cert library, Jenkins cert library, can be consumed with the certainty that it will work. It's always work compatible, and the library itself is tested itself with itself. So it sounds a bit redundant, but the idea is we have a process of branches and tags that help us to be sure any upcoming release is tested beforehand to avoid any kind of surprises. Regarding the infrastructure, we were talking like if we use Ansible, we use Docker, Packer images, all of them, they are tested before creating new virtual machines or Docker images. We also test the Ansible deployments and the Helm charts. The other thing that is important to say is about how we can ensure certain validation before committing them in any Git repository. Some build system they provided because it's built in the build system itself. Others, they don't have that particular maturity. And for such, we use pre-commits in the Git repository. Pre-commit is one of the tools that you can use. You basically define certain validations before allowing people to commit that in the repo. It's not just for local development, it's also something we use in our CI/CD. So it's a mandatory sanity check. Other things that are important is not how you test the functionality, but also to scan the security as well. For such, we use Sync, Fossa, Popeye to detect any kind of security issues, third-party libraries, dependencies that can be compromised also to apply best practices?
Communication. Communication is trying to send the right information to the right people. We try to facilitate the communication regarding the CI/CD status only in one place. Why? To avoid the communication overflow, such send too much emails, ERC message, issues, and GitHub chats. Also help people that is not familiar with the CI/CD tool. Not all the people know how to search something in Jenkins. We decide to provide this digested information about build, test, deployment status, and other highlights in the GitHub PRs in all cases. The benefits of that, people don't need to access to Jenkins log by default, but in BlueOcean and contains specific logs, if need more details about the issue. They have the logs in GitHub. In the next slide, I will provide an example of how we digest that information in GitHub pull requests. We send a message to the GitHub repository, to the GitHub pull request, and in that message we have the links to the Jenkins UI and the digested information related with the failure. For example, in a PR, we go to the PR, we will show the message of a build that was success, and we show that the build is success. We can access to the pipeline tests and other links to the Jenkins UI. We can show the number of tests that we launched and the results of those tests. And also we can check those pull requests that are failed. In those cases, we have a similar message, but with different information. Let's see. So if we go to a PR that fails, we saw that the build failed. And we have the test errors, and we can navigate to the, we can show a brief of the log. And also we can show the steps that fail, and we can navigate to the exact log of that fail. And there we have the error. So people that don't know anything about the CI/CD tool can work in the same way that people that know how Jenkins or other tools work. That's the goal.
Other important part of the solution we provide is the centralized knowledge. To observe the status of the CI/CD in different ways, we ingest all the key assets for any build, test, deployment to Elasticsearch, and use Kibana to visualize and get a better understanding of what's going on. Some of the examples could be to centralize the dashboard in a way like all the data is in one single place as it's digested, and then the information will be easy to reach by anyone. I'm going to show you a different kind of real life examples of how we do the CI analysis. In this particular case, I want to show you, like, we do have a centralized dashboard in a Markdown. Then we navigate there, we click on that particular test that it failed, and from there we can access exactly what is the build in Jenkins that failed, have a more deeper understanding of the logs and so on. Again, this is the view. Just click on the dashboard, and in the dashboard you will be able to see an overview of how it looks like, the builds and so on for a particular branch or a particular project. Okay, go to the failure test and link from there to the build and change that failure. Other thing that we can do is about the flagginess, right? In this example, we do have an issue with the label CI reported, and from there we can see that there has been tagged as flaggy test. If we click in one of these GitHub issues for that particular project, we're gonna see certain information that has been generated automatically, such as the name of the test, such as the build that it failed, such as the PR that caused that issue and the commit, certain error details, the stack trace for that particular test failure, and a link as well to the PR that caused that particular failure. This issue happens 8 days ago. So we navigate to the build comment that we mentioned earlier from the communication. You will see a flaky test report message. We go to the particular history of 8 days ago, we'll see the flaky test report detected. At that time, two test failures that were related to probably some flakiness. Just to clarify, the way we tag a particular test failure as flaky is something we delegate to Elasticsearch. So there is another process in place that all the DST test failures are analyzed, and if they happen with certain, with an algorithm, is trying to see the previous build history and then tag them with a certain likelihood that they are failure as flaky test. It's going to be there, the information. So the CI itself, after running any test, will evaluate any matches, and then the information will be always in GitHub as a GitHub issue. So this is the idea of centralizing the knowledge to just in one place to understand when the build failed for any test, if they are flaky, and then start a conversation between the different people that they own the project in GitHub.
Okay. Monitoring demo. What we are trying to achieve is to have insights of our CI/CD and the test problems. So to do that, we ingest all the data related with the status of our CI/CD. We have monitoring data related with the health of the CI/CD environments, data related with logs, metrics, and everything is Elasticsearch, and everything is ingested with our tools. So we are doing dog fooding for free about our product. What information we digest is exactly. We send monitoring data about the CI workers or the Jenkins instance, reverse proxies, three-part systems like GitHub, GitHub IP quota requests, and this kind of stuff. And we pull in the logs for Jenkins, for the builds, and we also monitor the status of the branches. With all that data, when something bad happens, we can go to the with there to Kibana and search the data and localize the error and try to resolve it. We go to the worker that is failing because there is not enough memory or whatever, and we resolve the problem. Okay, let's see an example of the data that we collect and how we manage to do things with that data. For example, this is data related with the reverse proxy that we have for the Jenkins instance. We collect a lot of data, and on that data, for example, we can filter for a region or a country, and we can solve the request that we have on that from that country. And in this case, we saw some patterns on some requests. And for example, let's go to the 404 request and see what happens. We could be some kind of attack or something like that, and we can detect it in a way. We saw that there is a bunch of requests that fail requesting something, and we can check the request, the kind of request that we have, and we can detect the scans of the CI/CD, try to find some security issues or whatever. So it's an example of how we use that.
Another aspect in this particular set of solution you're talking about is the continuous deployment. So we don't have the continuous integration foundation there. We, in some cases, we do continuous delivery. And now we are going to talk about the next aspect is how we deploy continuously for some of the products. So for us, every successful merge to any of the principal branches will generate binaries. This allows us to have a fresh snapshot to be able to ready to be deployed and test in some of the environments we have. As we talked earlier, everything in the everything as code part of the solution we provide, we are able to generate ephemeral and permanent environments for testing and development. These permanent environments are massive. They are used for demos, real testing, or real testing in the sense of functional testing or manual testing, and help developers to have the closest version with massive data. One other example is about the data that is generated in some of these demo environments is about 4 terabytes of data, and they are treated in the same manner as any production environment. Our release cycle is based on a timeline. So there is a feature freeze that happens, and for that particular period of time, there are certain testing done, and we produce release build candidates. And anytime there is a new build candidate or a snapshot, is updated automatically in these environments. We also have a specific edge environment. This edge environment is matching the principal branch, basically the main branch or master branch, what's the terminology you use. The idea with this is to be able to test any changes, even though they might break. We will detect things faster because incompatibility or any kind of other dependencies. The idea is not just to be able to detect this, but also Dogfood or Elastic Cloud Platform, which is a SaaS service. These give value not only for our team, but also for other teams. So this is a way we can boost the collaboration between, foster the collaboration with other teams as well. In the next slide is, or the one that we are seeing now, is just giving you the way we not just use our product itself for just validating the work as expected, but it's also how we dog food. So we can see the monitoring, the uptime, the logs of all the applications that are running in this particular demo environment or edge environment. This is pretty much an example of, yes, we are doing continuous deployment and continuously verifying that it behaves as expected.
CASE engineering is about canceling incidents in production environments and see how the system is resilient to that incident or not. In our case, our production environments are our demo environments that we talked in the previous slides. We are interested to detect those incidents and report them. So for us, CASE engineering is another source of data for tuning all our tools. So we generate random incidents and we test specific scenarios and we analyze the data and we try to detect those incidents that we define as experiments.
So future, we just finished to talk about the solution we put in place to apply CI/CD, but there are still different areas that we'd like to improve. Or just to dedicate some time on that. So we highlighted 3 major topics. The very first one is using machine learning to analyze why there was a failure. It could be related to tests, it could be related to an environmental issue or a genuine one. So based on this, it will help us to optimize the resources that we use for building, testing, or deploying. And it will also help us to have some self-healing. So the system itself will be able to retry a number of times if there are certain flakiness or if there was a genuine error or environmental issue. Other things is, as we talk about in one of the solutions about communication, what we do have is at the moment is a GitHub pull request comment with the status of the build, deployment, or test. We would like to leverage this to have more information that has been digested even more. Which will help us to avoid any UI interactions. The sooner we get there, the better for everyone, because we will help the onboarding to anyone with any of the projects we have. So this is our aim, to don't have any UI interaction. And the last thing is about to standardize everything we have as a solution for the CI. We'll try to move farther with the way we use Jenkins. There are examples of certain initiatives about monitoring, which is open telemetry as a standard or convention. So it's one of the areas we are also dedicating and investing some time to work on that.
So that's all. Thank you. You have a care a couple of links. One is about the pipeline library that we use in Jenkins. You have documentation there, and you can find what we do with Jenkins. It's open source. You can use it. And also a blog of Elasticsearch with all the details about the products that we use and how to use it. Thank you. If you have some questions, there is 5 minutes for questions. So write in the chat and we will answer your questions. Thank you.
Thank you.